Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday night. Friday, April the 12th, 2024. 15 minutes past the hour, joined in studio on this getaway Friday night by Matt Morgan and Carrington Nelson, and away we go as we come back from Philadelphia, NYC, the Hall of Fame, WrestleMania 40, everything that was gigantic. Oh, what a time we had. Now, we've talked about it individually on different shows here, but for the big Friday night show, we'll open up. Carrington, memories of Philadelphia, the Hall of Fame, WrestleMania 40, New York City. Condense it all for us, the big weekend that was.
The big weekend that was. That's a great summary.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah. No, you said it best. I can't top the big weekend that was. It's kind of like we're like mock celebrities almost, you know, are getting to be in the backstage area. I mean, you're kind of like actually a celebrity, you know, being out on stage and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of actually like one. It's crazy. But just getting to experience WrestleMania, experience the Hall of Fame ceremony from a backstage perspective. Didn't think I would ever be at those events. So getting to do that from backstage is something that most people won't ever get to do. So that's quite the honor, getting to go to New York City with you guys. You having your people to get us up to the top of the Rock, and that just working itself out constantly amazes me whenever you're like, this is going to happen, and then it happens, and I'm like, how did he do this? Like, again, like, something plays out, and it's cool. It's cool to experience. I'm grateful to have been there. I had a really nice time. We got to see Constitution Hall. We didn't talk about that in the last summary we went
Independence
through.
Hall.
Independence Hall.
Where the Constitution was signed.
Yes. Yeah, we got to see
it. By those wise old men, yes. Many years ago.
Yes. It was good. It was kind of what I expected, I think. It was a room, and then the lady went out and chatted about it, and we got to not touch anything because, you know, I got to preserve history, but I'm always curious to see how much of that is, like, original. Like, they probably had to repaint. That's been at least, like, 200 years. I don't know. But I liked it. It was cool. It was cool to get to experience that, obviously. Again, that just kind of worked out. You got your guy, and we get in the tour, and whatever. It was great. I had a good time.
What do you think, Matt? Go ahead.
About the whole weekend there?
Go ahead. I mean, go ahead. What should be different now? Go ahead.
What?
I mean, don't change your tune for this show. Just go ahead.
The whole weekend was good, okay? WrestleMania was nice. Like I said, it was good. I don't think I would go if I had to, you know, pay it. But all in all, it was a good experience. I would definitely do it again. New York City was nice. There was a lot of walking around. I don't mind walking, but you guys are kind of slow. The top of the Rock was nice. You can see basically all of New York from there. You know, Carrington's much better at the recap thing than I am. Let's see here. Independence Hall. Independence Hall. The only thing that I remember for a fact that she said wasn't changed was the chair. It was, like, all the way in the back there, and she said that George Washington sat there.
Oh, I totally missed that, because I was standing there wondering about, like, what's all original here? Because, like, in my mind, I was like, is this just, like, the stuff? Like, it looks pretty good for, like, 200-plus years. Like,
I was wondering if we were going to make the bus.
Yeah, I know.
At the time.
I looked at my phone, like, you know, halfway in, and I was like, it's pushing two now.
This lady's not shutting up.
Several times, yeah, I would, like, look at my phone, and then I looked at you, because you were looking at my phone to see the time, and I was like, oh. Ooh.
It was close.
Hey,
but we made it.
Me and Scott walked fast after that. We made it back. We booked it back.
We made it back.
Look, that's just how I prefer to walk. I like to walk with a purpose.
Well, as I explained to you earlier, when you're in Manhattan, there's everything going on, and you want to savor that moment. We weren't in any 50-yard dash there. That's all.
I typically also agree with you. Like, I'm a walk with a purpose kind of girl. Like, my friends will comment on that, how, like, they're like, oh my gosh, slow down. And then, like, I get, like, long leg comments and, like,
yeah,
the whole nine yards.
I get,
like,
that from my friends too. And I'm like, there are short people who keep up with me on a daily, okay?
Yeah.
It's not a long leg thing.
But for that time, I was just kind of savoring, just like, I was like, well, I mean, we're just walking to the next, like, place we're going to walk again. I mean, it was just a lot of, like, walking. That was the whole point.
I mean, I don't remember anybody getting left behind anywhere else. I just thought it was New York City. I mean, why are we, where are we going that we need to walk so fast?
I don't know. See, I just like to walk with a person. I don't like to meander. I was feel like, I don't know.
Well, isn't that what you do in New York City? I mean, I was looking at the, I was looking in the windows.
I was looking at the stores when I was hustling around.
You hustled right by the stores.
Yeah. Hustled right by. I don't know. I just enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't feel there was any pace that needed to be kept.
I just liked, I don't know. I didn't think there was a pace that needed to be kept. I just liked to, you know, like I said, walk with a purpose.
Well, I enjoyed it, and it was fun, and I enjoyed Tavern on the Green. And
Tavern on the Green was very nice.
Top of the Rock, and the whole thing was just a lot of fun. And I think that it's, it was just a unique experience. I mean, I don't think that that happens very often to anybody. And certainly people from Marion, Ohio, who come right back and dip into whatever's next. But you know what? I've learned now that anything can happen, because the last 6 months have been the most ridiculous 6 months for just things falling out of the sky. It just seems like when something happens, here comes another thing, here comes another thing, here comes another thing. So, you know what? I don't say never about anything anymore.
Also, hate to go back to the recap, sorry. Just had to mention there real fast. I was just thinking about it. I don't think people really think about how much work and manpower and time goes into a production like that. Like, they were, like, every time we went anywhere, there were loads of people doing loads of stuff. Like, it's a whole thing down there.
The fact that they're not permanent in that location also is amazing.
I know, like, they set it up so quick and so well, it's...
You can only imagine how many people are really working on it. Which, yeah, you don't get that from if you're watching it on TV. It starts at 8 o'clock, it's off at 10 o'clock, and you're like, great, that was perfect. But,
and for the final time, I was not nervous, and I didn't have any notes.
I will say, like I did this morning, I can vouch for that. I think Carrington probably can as well. We were with Scott basically the whole time. I don't think Scott ever even like looked like he was thinking about being nervous.
No, I think he said at least 5 times, he was like, do I look nervous? Because people kept saying things
to
you
about it. They go, are you nervous?
You're like, do I like look nervous or something right now? Like, what's going on?
do I seem nervous? Or,
I didn't feel nervous. I thought, everybody keeps asking, that's what the three questions they would come by. Are you nervous? Do you need anything? Is there anything we can do for you? No.
Sweet, they're just trying to be supportive, so.
Right, but I kept thinking I must be having some kind of breakdown here or something.
I mean, the rest of the people that were inducting people in the Hall of Fame, as you mentioned previously, they are like wrestling folk, you know, they probably aren't talkers on the regular, so.
I wasn't part of the wrestling folk crowd.
I mean, you hadn't been a previous
I came in on the
wrestler.
Broadcasting wagon. I didn't come in on the wrestling folklore.
I mean, that's true. It was
true.
The people were, you know, there was like this brother-sister duo that was inducting
their fathers,
and then there was the Medusa, who was inducting Bull, and then there was
The Rock.
I mean, The Rock also, he had notes, but I mean, he probably had a movie to go shoot the next day, so he's like, I don't
know. I was surprised that he was using notes. I thought that was interesting, that he was using notes. I thought that was fascinating.
It was
his grandmother.
Well, they had the best of times.
I'd like to think I could talk about my grandmother for 5 or 10 minutes.
I mean, he's got an image to uphold, I guess.
I guess.
You know, everybody was giving their speeches. I didn't look at anybody giving their speeches besides Scott. Well, obviously Paul Heyman, because we couldn't see the.
Well, the thing went on for an hour. I don't know how you could miss it.
Yeah, we did. We were sitting like ringside, and we could see the projector thing. I can't think of what it's called, but the
teleprompter.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
the teleprompter. And so, like, we looked at Paul Heyman because the teleprompter was behind us. But other than that, I was staring at the teleprompter, reading people's speeches. They were saying it because. I don't know why, I just like to do it that way.
Well, I've been to rehearsal. I knew they pretty much were all on teleprompter.
And then, you know, we got to Scott, and the only two people who did not have scripts that in the entire show, if I can remember, were Scott and Thunderbolt. Neither of them had a script. Everybody else had a script.
They're like, boy, we don't know how long this one's going to take. I thought Paul didn't have a script. How could he have had a script that was an hour
long? Yeah, I know. Like, that's fair. I didn't see the teleprompter, but like he was going.
There's no way.
He did.
He did?
He did. I was at rehearsal.
Was it just notes, though? Like he was like, at this point, I want to mention.
No. That's how the... that is fair. That's how the U.S. Express did it. Those were just kind of like pinpoints.
Bullet points, yeah. I saw that as well.
Yeah.
Our seat.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what it pretty much all was. I mean,
some people were reading a script.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the way it goes. And it's whatever you're most comfortable doing. I mean, you got to do what you're most comfortable doing.
I agree with that. I'm not hating on them. I just thought it was interesting that, you know.
Well, I mean, if you're not constantly, you know, talking and, like, you're a broadcaster, you're probably not used to getting to go out there and have to present in front of the 20,000 plus live audience plus whoever's watching at home. So.
Yeah, but these people have wrestled in front of audiences. I would think they'd be okay with it.
Wrestling and public speaking are just...
I was going to say, like when you're wrestling, you can kind of, like, you know, tunnel vision in on the wrestling match and everything else is just kind of, like, background. But, like, when you're giving a public speech, you are looking at everybody who's looking at you, and that's a whole different feeling.
See, why does that bother people? I expect that people are looking at me. I'm on the stage. I'm behind the podium.
Public speaking, it's what, the number one fear?
Number one fear. I never will understand that.
Also, I would like to, so I just thought it was funny that Paul Heyman, at the very beginning of the speech, said that he is not a public speech person, so he'll keep it short, and then he proceeded to have the longest speech of the night.
Well, I think some people realize, I mean, your tendency is to speak longer because you do get more comfortable the longer you're there. And I think that's what happens with a lot of people. And I think that's why I just wanted to be under 5 minutes because I did not want to speak longer than the person I was inducting. And I got the impression that was not going to go long. So I wanted to keep it at a certain pace, certain point.
Yeah, I mean, you got to hit all the points that you had previously mentioned wanting to hit. You got the induction by the New Day, so I thought it was good.
Yeah, I had a good time.
It was good.
Good time. It was just fun, and WrestleMania was fun, and like I say, those experiences are very, very rare. And I think, again, that's what's different than career versus job. And do what you want to do in life. I mean, I certainly don't criticize anybody's choices, but I'll tell you, those experiences are things that you do remember. They stick in your mind forever because not everybody gets to do them.
You know, I think my, speaking of New Day, I judge New Day so hard, I guess harshly, all the way up to WrestleMania for the sheer fact that I didn't really know who they were, so I looked them up and I saw them wearing Bootio shirts, and I thought that was the goofiest thing in like all time. But when they came out during the Hall of Fame thing, I was like, they're a whole vibe.
They were nice. They're very nice guys.
I like these people.
Matter of fact, I don't know if I ever told you this, but somebody did say in the back as I was going through, they said I was the newest member of New Day.
I think you did mention
somebody did say that to me as I got to the back. I remember that now. I thought, yeah, I fit right in with that group. That's exactly, that's where I'm at.
For sure.
Scott is the New Day.
I'm the new Day. Well, I felt it. People couldn't have been nicer, though. Like I said, I went back out to watch the Rock speech because I wasn't just going to stand back there. So when I went back, I walked through the side and went and stood with all the cameramen and watched the Rock speech. And people just were, great speech, great speech, great speech. You know, they're very, whether it was or it wasn't, they were very nice. So
it's over at that point. If
you say it's good, I'll buy it. And it was good.
The man himself, Bruce, right?
Bruce.
Yeah, Bruce even, you know.
Stood up, got off headset.
Yep, took off the headset, stood up, you know, shook hands. You know, very nice speech.
Very nice speech. Here's our head writer, Brian Gwirtz. It was very nice. I mean, and Briscoe, who was one of the head VIPs back there, walked to the back and said the same thing and even put it on social media. Matter of fact, I've said this and I haven't quoted it. I should quote exactly what Briscoe said to me. He was one of the big muckety mucks there. On Monday, where is that comment?
So I have so much New York content and from the weekend on the Facebook
page. It never stopped.
It never stopped. Right there, I mean, no, there's the Eclipse event, too. That was, when you talked about a quick turnaround time and how things have just been happening the last 6 months, I was like, oh, yeah, that was, this weekend was a testament to that with Philadelphia, but then we're going to cram in New York City in a day, and then we have to go back for WrestleMania, of course, because we can't miss that, and then, you know, but then there's the Eclipse that starts at 3 o'clock, and there's the 10-hour drive. It was like, oh, my gosh, like, broadcasting, like, this is
That's life. It's fun. Gerald Briscoe said, Scott, you were awesome. All of us who have known Bolt for the better part of our lives appreciate everything you have done for our great friend, WWE Hall of Fame member Thunderbolt Patterson. Man, that sounds good.
That does. I'm sure he's excited about it. You said that he's been staying with you this week.
We've had a wonderful time.
Have you learned any more about his feelings toward his induction and how everything
went? Yeah, we watched it last night together.
And he was happy with how everything went?
He was happy with it.
I know there were some last-minute changes there with his induction.
There were some last-minute changes, but, you know, I was just there. I just watched it happen.
Right.
It was an interesting moment.
Right, yeah.
God bless them all back there.
Right. I mean, in television, you know, you think those things are planned out and...
No. 60 seconds left to go. There was people throwing things. We got to... And okay, you're not going out here. You're going out over there.
Yep.
Now, again, I said this earlier, but I think it bears repeating. What I learned about this particular trip is that I don't eat and I don't sleep. Apparently, those are two things I learned about myself.
I observed those things. Matt, did you observe those qualities within Scott?
I do not pay attention to people's food consumption.
This is the thing with you.
Because, I mean, I myself, I don't think I eat all that much. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I pay attention to it. I think Scott ate a normal amount on the trip, if I'm being honest. But, like I said, I don't think I pay attention that much to people's food. And as far as the sleep thing goes, I mean, Scott runs into sleep all the time, so, yeah.
I wasn't surprised, but just, you know, seeing it in real life when, like, you know, we've gotten back from WrestleMania, it's midnight, we're supposed to leave the next morning at 5 o'clock in the morning. Scott's like, I'm gonna go sit in the lobby if you guys want to come. I was like, oh my gosh, like... Okay, we can spend one of the 5 hours we have to sleep in the lobby. I was like, we're only here. No, you didn't make me. I was like, oh my gosh, like, he just keeps going. Like, I personally wouldn't have, like, suggested something. I was like, oh, everyone's tired. And then you did, and I was like, everybody's not tired. Like, the night goes on. Like, you just got some stamina like no other.
Well, I do think, I said, I think that's part of the, if I do have any success, I think that's probably part of the secret to it, is I can get there late. I'll stay later than anybody else. I'll get there earlier than anybody else, and I will do what has to be done. I mean, I can take a nap just like anybody else, but when I know something needs to be done, I can do it.
See, I don't like being there earlier than anybody else. I'm not going to lie to you. Early is not really my thing, but I can certainly stay there later than anybody else. Yeah, I can be up forever.
So many things happen early in the morning, and if you're the first one to snatch them up, you're gold. Because so many things happen overnight. And if you're the first one to get them, that's where you want to be. And part of it's just timing.
I mean, I can stay up till, like, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning. So, I mean, staying later than nobody, that's easy. But, like...
Functioning is part of it. Functioning is where if your mind starts to wander, you see, or you start to drift.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, that's why I said easy. Because, like, I mean, I could stay up till the sun comes up, but I don't know that I want to. You know, 5 o'clock rolls around and I'm thinking about going to bed.
I don't know. Matt performed surprisingly well this weekend. After, as I said, you know, we got back, go to the lobby. We are supposed to leave at 5 o'clock in the morning. He did all of the driving there and back. I offered a couple times. I was like, hey, if you need me to, like, I'm not a huge fan of driving, but, like, I'd rather drive than us, like, die if you're, you know, tired and we crash or something. Like, just let me know. And he did it the whole way. I was in and out of sleep a little bit on the car ride back. I was trying to stay responsive whenever you were... asking you questions and bouncing around conversation. But
you like to drive.
I do like to drive.
Yeah.
Especially, like I said, I do like, especially the highway. The highway, I love the highway.
I believe it. You showed it. I was like, wow.
The only thing I know is when you guys got back, I had just gotten back from getting the balloons. Yeah. And
where
Matt was there. Yeah, this is the whole question. Yeah, here we go. I walked in. I saw Matt there.
Yes.
And I said, hey, did you get back? Oh, yeah, everything's fine. I said, well, where's Carrington at? He said, I don't know.
Yeah, where did you go?
And I said, what do you mean you don't know? You rode back together.
Like, you got out of the car, and then I just saw you, like, walking towards the mile.
He said, you didn't say a thing to him.
I didn't really think anything about it. So then I just started talking to, you know, Thunderbolt and Marianne, and Marianne was like, hey, where's Carrington? And I was like, you know, it's a good question.
I had some friends that came to the event, so I was going over to see them, and, like, I had, like, said, because I think we had started talking to Thunderbolt and Mary Ellen, and I was like, oh, I'll be back in a couple minutes, like, just to the group, and so I was just going to talk to the people.
I probably just didn't hear. I was talking
to
Thunderbolt.
It was really brief.
Yeah, like, when I got there, I was like, the first thing I did was talk to Thunderbolt.
Because, yeah, we were talking, and I was like, hey, I'll be back in a couple minutes. I'm going to head over there. And then, I mean, I stayed for longer than a couple minutes, not in the immediate vicinity. But I was like, well, you know, I was checking on the sun every now and then. I was like, yeah, it's not eclipsing yet, so we're fine, I think, so.
Now, it's my understanding, as I said before, that, you know, you guys don't talk a whole lot when you're here for whatever reason. You know, God bless it. It's a nice thing. And I thought this car trip might be a little strange, and... apparently, it was, I mean, not the most chatty, interesting car trip in the world, but, oh, that's fine.
I mean, like, we talked. It wasn't like... See, the issue is, like, I had set don't take offense to it. I had said that.
Don't take offense to this.
I had said that you were boring this morning, but it's only because like
you did say that, didn't you?
I did.
Yes, I believe
yes.
You did.
But yes. But I
oh, I won't take offense to that.
I just explained it as I like the hunting and I like fishing and I like politics and I like sports and like you don't like any of the things that I listed off there. So there's not much conversation to be had. I don't really know what to say.
Yeah, and I don't know, car trips just bring out the tired side of me. Like, I am okay being in the car and not talking. I think I said this previously whenever people were worried about us.
I mean, I do agree with you, Carrington. So, like, we did make fun of you a lot for falling asleep in the car rides, but, like, I do the, like, if I'm a passenger, I do the same thing. I'm not going to lie to you. Sitting in a car just isn't my thing. Like, I can't stare at my phone. I just don't have the patience to, so I will just go to sleep.
Yeah.
Pass this time that way.
Depends on who I'm in the car with. I could fall asleep in the car if it's somebody who's boring. But if it's somebody who I like, I might be a chance to talk to him.
Like when me and my brother went to Wisconsin, he drove, like, I drove there and back. He drove 2 hours on the way back, but that was it. He drove long enough for me to get gas, and then we swapped seats again. But in the 2 hours that he drove, I fell asleep. He did not fall asleep in any of the time there or back while I was driving.
Short car trips I can do, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours, that's fine. But something like that, I mean, boy, it's...
I like to set my cruise control to 15 miles an hour over and weave in and out of the traffic.
Whatever people want to do.
And I think part of me closing my eyes, I was like, you know, when I was awake, there were a couple times where I was pushing the passenger side fake brake that doesn't exist and, like, gripping the wall a little bit. And I was like, oh, gosh. Like, I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I just do this. Like, you know, whenever you're not in control of, like, being able to stop
I think your stop's going to be too quick,
you get a little, you're like, ah. Oh. So I was like, you know, if my eyes are closed and we hit something, I won't even know. I think I shouldn't watch the road. And then I was honestly really trying to stay awake on the car ride back in the morning, because like I said, I was nervous about you having 4 hours of sleep. I was like, oh my gosh, if I was told that I had to do that, I wouldn't.
I just bought a Red Bull, or I just bought a Monster, and you know, I drank the Monster and we were fine.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive. I thought, I was like, he just stayed awake and it was just fine. So
I wasn't there. Can't speak to it. But the point is, I was on the car ride to New York, and that was a car ride. that was what it was.
I mean, that's what we described, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of country music. It was there.
So, like I had said, we listened to country music on the way to New York, but we did not listen to country music on the way there.
Well, good. I'm glad I was there for the country hoot nanny.
Look, I just had to switch it up, okay?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and then all the way back, we listened to my playlist because Matt's Apple...
I heard about that.
His stuff wasn't working. I heard about GPS.
Yep.
What, is this a big deal or something?
No,
Why are you saying it like that?
I've heard.
What did you say?
I just said that, like, every other song was, like, Taylor Swift, and every time I looked down, I was like, it's another Taylor Swift song?
Yeah, you never said anything about it. I was like, I was curious. I was sitting there thinking, I wonder if Matt's like
if I'm being honest, with an hour left on the trip, I straight up just put an earbud in so I could have my music in my ear so I could listen to my music while I drive, but I still had the GPS on the screen.
That was perfect.
I won't lie to you. That Noah Kahan guy you listen to, I ain't gonna lie to you. I did like a couple of his songs. Couple of his songs were okay.
That's it? That's the only thing you liked? Didn't I check in a few times and I was like, how are we feeling about this? Like,
I mean, because like, it's just, like, usually when I drive, music's just kind of a background thing, so it's, this guy's about to fall asleep over there.
Sorry, I'm so
curious. This is what I thought it would be. I mean, this is just what I thought it would be. I there's no doubt in my mind. This is what I thought.
I
was told differently. So I feel like I have the phrase now to say, told you so. This is what I thought it would be.
I thought it was fine.
Well,
fine.
No, I'm not saying... Okay, whatever. I don't know why we're having this conversation then.
Everyone had a fine time.
It sounds like a bunch of fun. Like, when I said, how was the car ride? She said, fine.
I mean,
let's move on.
I mean, I wouldn't...
It was fine.
I mean, I wouldn't say it was like a plus positive or like a plus negative. Like...
No, I didn't think there was going to be fights.
Yeah,
I don't think there was anything to it. I think it was a car ride.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It was a car ride. That's, yeah. Slept a little, listened to some music, chatted.
In any event.
What else is there to say?
I don't know. It's not bad. I mean, I just think that it's interesting.
I do think I was a little irritated by the time we had gotten back to Ohio, just because I was tired.
That's like, totally fair. Because
like I went to sleep like as soon as I left Steak and Shake, and Scott had said that they were going to go back to do tape. Actually, yeah, I had told you that, and how they were going to go back to do tapings, and I was like, we were invited, but I was like, I'm not going. I'm going to go home and go to sleep. And I did. I went to sleep at like 6 o'clock.
I figured you would. I was scared. Like when we left, the first hour to 2 hours of the car ride, I was like,
how many minutes are we going to spend on this car ride?
Trying.
I mean, honest to God.
I'm saying there was just a lot of, I don't know, emotion involved.
I want to take a car ride if we spend 5 more minutes talking about this car ride.
Let's move on.
Oh, my Lord in heaven.
Let's move on.
So anyway, it was what it was. It's over now. It's
we survived.
Done.
It's done.
It's over. No more.
Okay, you do say that, but you did spend a lot of time worrying about the car ride before.
Not worry. No. It is what I thought it would be. I've told people this, and I have no secrets. I have no joke about this. When we are here, or when we do the Wednesday night thing, all the months that this has happened, it doesn't seem like you guys have much to say to each other during the breaks. It just doesn't happen. I don't know why it didn't. And to have an 8-hour car ride to me seemed like an odd occasion, but I think it would have never happened had this particular circumstance have happened.
Well, I mean, it was kind of like a business trip.
It wasn't like a road trip. No, but I think that had there been more people in the car, there would have been more conversation. I think had it been the original plan for some people who were going to go, it would have been a different dynamic. But when it got down to what it got down to, I just thought this would be pretty much what the response would be. I never thought there'd be anger or hostility. I just think there's not a whole lot of common ground there. That's it.
It all worked out.
Whatever. You know what? I didn't have to be in the car. What do I care?
That's right. You got the Screaming Baby Express,
But the ride home was fine. The ride home was fine.
Not that luxury.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would have taken that. I would have taken that.
Yeah, that's fair. It was shorter than our 8-hour trip.
I was a 1-hour shot.
Oh, I also did, this morning, I did mention that we had to stop to get food because you wanted to get food on the way to New York and on the way...
Oh, why recount the morning? We've already got that in the tape. Let's
Should we play the tape?
No, it's fine. It was a nice morning this morning.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think I just eat more than you guys or something. We knew this already. We've had comments on my eating habits. Like,
it was fine, honestly, because like if we didn't stop to get Carrington's food, I think we would have had to stop anyways because like that monster, honestly, the monster probably, you know, carried me through the trip.
There you go.
The audience right now.
What?
I said the audience is out there listening right now. That's all I know.
That's good.
So
are they, you know, hating on us?
No. It's fine. It's what it is. It's what it is. I was having... You know what's weird? Whatever was going on or didn't go on or lack of going... I don't know anymore at this point. I'm so mixed up about the whole thing. I know I had a good time. I paid very little attention to what else was going on. I had my own thing going on.
You did. I had a good time as well. I thought it was fun.
I was enjoying myself.
It was good.
If other people were in a little knit or something, God bless them. I find that negative energy is a bad thing, and I just block it out. If somebody's got negative energy or is in a bad mood or whatever, I just tend to ignore it and just go on with what I'm doing. I think that's the best thing to do.
I mean, you can't change it most of the time. I've definitely learned that.
No, you can't change people. People want to be the way they are. If they didn't want to be that way, they, you know...
Probably would change themselves.
They would change their ways. Some people are just that way, and that's just the way it is. And I just don't want to put a negative spin on the fun that I had, because it was a fun time. I had a good time.
Absolutely.
I'm grateful to have gone.
Yep, so there you go. And that was the trip that was. Like I said, the final note on this before we move on is that I did not realize until recently that there was, I told people it was a positive trip. I had a good time. There was nothing about it that was negative to me. Somebody mentioned the other day even about the layover being negative. I was fine with it. There was no reason I needed to be there Thursday night early. I mean, what would I have done? Went to the hotel room and sat for 3 hours?
Got there before us so we didn't have to drive around.
Well, you know, that's life.
We got a Philly cheesesteak, though.
We did, yeah. In fact, get a Philly
cheesesteak. There you go. So, I mean, nothing about it was negative. I don't have that kind of tension going on. I'm not, like, worked up and the slightest thing is going to throw me into a tizzy. The flight was delayed. Whatever. It happens.
I know you were talking to us on the way there.
Yes, I was having a good time. I was making jokes in the terminal.
That's what it sounded like, yeah.
I was having a good time. Like, you know, this is fun. What else would I be doing right now? You know?
You can't do anything else at that point,
no.
So might as well enjoy it.
You make the best of a bad situation. Yes, you'd want to be on the plane, but you're not, so what am I going to do? Sit there and complain like everybody else?
No.
No.
You're going to make jokes that the TSA and others do not appreciate.
Yes. I had to keep them entertained.
They seem
like they were not the most jovial of people.
You know, they don't play around over there. I mean, you know, I've never been through it, but like, I mean, Carrington has said that they don't mess around. I mean, you obviously had said that they're the thirst years and they don't like jokes. I had heard from my friend, one of my friends as well, and his mom, so, you know.
In any event, I think this is a good place to go after this particular story. A recent Japanese study. Yes, this is a perfect place to be. A recent Japanese study found that writing things down that make you angry and then tearing up the piece of paper brings them back to a state of calm. What do you think? Matt, we talked about this earlier, but what do you think?
I had said that I don't think it makes any sense. And, I mean, I think it's one of those things that... If you think it's gonna work, it'll probably work. But if you don't think it'll work, it probably won't work.
I think anything you're pessimistic about is probably less apt to work. I think if you're gonna think you're gonna lose, you're probably gonna lose. But if you think that's why people say, I think this is gonna be a disaster. Probably will be. You've already got yourself in the mindset that it's gonna be. I choose to be positive because even if it does turn out negative, then it was no fault of my own.
Yeah, you made the best of it. I feel like I agree with that, where it's like if you believe that it could work, it would. I could definitely see some people doing that and being like, oh, this is stupid, the whole time they're ripping it up and writing stuff down. But I think if you have the right attitude toward it, it could definitely help release some anger. I mean, getting the, like, ripping tension out, it's like an aggressive action. So I guess that's what people probably need whenever they're angry about something.
Well, a lot of people don't know why they're angry sometimes. Sometimes until you write it out, you really don't know fully why you're angry, what the anger... Sometimes you're angry to people and it's because you're hostile about something else, but you take your hostility out on other people because something else is all wrong.
How do you write down something you're angry about if you don't know what you're angry about?
What do you mean? I'm saying, no, you find out that wasn't really what you were angry about. You get in a fight with somebody, and you say, man, I'm really ticked off at them, and then you sit down to write it down, and you go, okay, what was I angry about? Well, you know, earlier in the day, I really didn't get the sleep that I want. And you start to realize, because now you're thinking about it. And it wasn't really what the person said, because that looks really stupid to write down, because they didn't say hello to me in the right tone of voice. Well, that's dumb. I think it makes you think about it. I think it's reflection is really what this is about. And then once you know what the problem is, poop, poop, it's gone. It's done. You can't put the milk back in the jug.
I wonder if the ripping aspect of it, or if just like writing stuff down, because I mean, I think people have journaled for a really long time, and that's
I journaled
common.
This last trip.
I'm sure you did.
I journaled a lot of stuff.
You did?
Yes, it's going to be in the book. I had to put this
when
in.
When is this book coming?
Well, every time something happens, I get like an invite. I can't leave that out.
You, this book ain't going to come out until after you die.
MD dead. That'll be the last chapter. And next thing I was going to do, .. That'll be the last chapter. And I've peeled over at the keyboard.
Someone else will come in and they'll be like, this is an epilogue or something.
Yeah. I don't...
Eulogy? Is that the right thing? Epilogue?
Epilogue.
What's epilogue?
But what happens afterward?
Okay, epilogue was right.
Epilogue
okay,
was right.
I questioned it. Perfect.
Finally, we got it right. But no, I mean, I mean, how could I not? I mean, I'm going to tell people what really happened behind the scenes. You know, I'm going to talk about the real stuff that went down.
I mean, I'm down. When's the book coming out?
Well, I gotta finish it now. Rome wasn't built in a day.
That's true. How do you summarize 4 jam-packed days? And
there was a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on there.
Absolutely. There was a lot going on.
Plus, I've learned so much more since I've been back, you know, then you put that stuff in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because you gotta be honest with people. Can't sugarcoat it.
Every day there's something new.
I believe that's true. So do we think this will work? I think it'd work. I mean, I don't know why it wouldn't.
It'd work if you have the right mentality about it. If you want it to work, I think it can definitely help you relax.
What do you think?
I agree. I think if you think it's going to work, I think it'll probably work. But I think if you're, doing it to prove that it doesn't work, it's obviously not going to work.
Here's an interesting story. We didn't do this one earlier, so this is brand new. Some industries, are hard to break into. So, a maintenance worker at an art museum hung his own artwork up at the museum to get it seen by people. They found out, and they fired him. So, is this a good idea?
No.
Oh, I think it's a great idea.
I kind of love it.
It's gutsy.
He's rebellious.
Gutsy.
That's how you lose your job.
No, that's how maybe somebody.
Unemployed.
But what if somebody would have seen it that would have mattered and would have wanted to buy it? They wouldn't have fired him. You got to take a risk sometimes. You want to be the maintenance man there? You want to be mopping the floors, or do you want to hang out on the wall?
Plus, I wonder how much he cared about the job. Like, did he get it with the intention of like, I'll get it, I'll get comfortable for 2 weeks, and I'll hang up my stuff?
I guess it depends on how long he had been there and how much the job meant to him. Because like, if he had been there for
If you're going to do that, clearly you want to be something. You are taking a risk. Why would you do that? That takes a lot of work. So I think it was fine. Good for him.
I wonder if he had legal repercussions or if it was just like you're fired or done.
I don't think there'd be any legality involved in that, but I think that they fired him.
That's
clearly.
I mean, yeah, if the worst that happens from doing that is losing your job, I think that's totally worth the risk.
This is called take chances. Sometimes you got to do that. It's not always going to turn out great. I hate to tell you, all chances don't turn out great. But some of them do. And if this had turned out good for him, we wouldn't even be talking about it now. Sometimes you got to get your feet...
I don't know. I think we'd be talking about it. I think we'd just be like, man... I think we'd still be talking about it. It'd just be more of a, like... It'd be one of those, like, strange success stories.
Yeah. Trials to triumph.
Anything that's rare like this is going to be risky. You got to get your foot in the door somehow. And this guy took a chance.
Well,
good for him.
I think even that he got caught, he got his foot in the door.
It's a story now.
Yeah, it's kind of like that thing, all publicity is good publicity. Everybody knows who he is now.
Exactly. So it worked out fine for this man, and I'm sure he'll hang somewhere.
I want to know. Yeah, I need an update.
Somebody's going to buy his art now just because of this.
Right, and I think, again, he made the right choice. I remember
I changed my mind. This was a fantastic choice because now, he's famous.
Well, I remember a few years ago when the girl, I don't remember her name, but she was working for a company she didn't like, so she made a video quitting to a Kanye song. And she quit in the middle of the night in the video. It was basically, I quit, and she became famous because of that video. The video went viral of her quitting this company to the Kanye song. So I thought that was great. I thought, well, gutsy. Go for it. Sometimes you gotta go for it. You can't play it safe all your life.
Burn bridges,
Well, I don't know about burning bridges. I don't know if that's the goal, but
I think that quitting your job by... recording a video over a Kanye song is probably burning some bridges there.
Well, probably burning the bridge there, but at some point you got to say, what am I learning here? What am I gaining? Is this something I want to do forever? Is this really the goal?
I still don't think you should burn bridges.
At that point, it worked for her. She got a job, I think, on some major television show after that, and she was a graphic designer, so she got her dream job. And I still remember the video all these years later.
So, I mean, that's what she wanted.
That's what she wanted.
Success.
That's right.
To be remembered.
And I think she worked for a company that tried to create videos that would go viral. She did it.
That's so ironic. I love the irony in that. If this guy would have gotten famous with his art situation,
I think he did to some degree.
Take
the chance. If you need anything, you got to take the chance. It's not always going to be easy. If it were easy, everybody would do it. Remember
absolutely.
That.
And then it wouldn't be a story. No one's going to be talking about it if you're doing what everybody else is doing. I mean, you have to think of something that's different.
I've been criticized this week for saying that somebody who's picking up sticks is hard to understand what I did this past weekend. Well, you know what? The more I think about it, it is exactly the right thing to say because there are things in life that are not risky that people can do, that anybody can do, and there's nothing wrong with that. Do it. If that's where your joy is, God bless you and be happy. But if you want to be risky, if you want to take a chance, if you want to play in the big time, you're going to have to take risks. And you know what? That's a thing. I'm sorry. Does it always pay off? No, but sometimes it does. You got to. Do you want to play it safe all your life, or do you want to get in the game? Do you want to ride the bench, or do you want to get in the game? That's really all it comes down to. You might get in the game and foul out, but get in the game.
Okay, Mr. Motivational Speaker there. Woo!
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's there comes a time. I mean, how long do you want to be mopping the floors at this museum? If that's what you want to do, good, do it. It's fine to mop the floors. But if you're mopping the floors every day looking at the artwork saying that could have been me, well, you know, I don't want to be that guy. I'd rather be the fired guy than, that could have been me.
I feel like most people don't have a dream of mopping the floors of the art
Probably
museum,
not.
So.
Probably not. But they do it because it's safe.
Yes. You got to do something. So might as well do something that's a little risky than be safe and miserable for years.
That's right. Go out there and give a speech with no notes.
For the risk factor.
Just to see if you can do it. Just to see if you can do it.
Test the limits. Push the boundaries.
Yep. I don't know why it's a bad thing. I like the idea. I think there should be some risk in everything you do in life. If you constantly are trying to play it safe, you will live a very normal life. And again, if that's the goal, if that's the plan, and you're happy, good for you. But I don't know that it's all that memorable in the end, and I think you maybe get a little bitter when people say that you're picking up sticks.
I mean, most things in life are, I mean, you know, the higher the risk, the higher the reward.
Exactly.
People always say, like, starting is the first step, and I think in an instance where you are making a risky decision like that, it definitely is, because, I mean, I feel like whenever you're starting, that's whenever you have to take the risks, and, you know, once you already had success, you're going to feel like, oh, you know, I did it once, I can do it again, so then it becomes less risky, because you're like, oh, I know I can do this, so.
You have to feel like you belong, and clearly this guy felt like he belonged. He felt that his artwork belonged on that wall. I mean, he knew eventually they were going to catch on. I mean, how would they not?
I wonder how long it stayed.
Probably not very long. But you know what? You got to take the chance. I mean, I'm sure that... What did this guy think? It was just going to blend? That nobody was ever going to notice? None of these curators in this museum was ever going to notice this new painting on the wall and where it came from? I mean, of course he knew what he was getting into.
No, he made a choice for sure by doing that. But, I mean, I'm just curious how long it took for somebody to...
I
want to
see this artwork. Is his artwork at least good?
I think artwork is subjective, to be honest with you.
That's
the hardest part about it. You're right.
So, you know what? But again, don't ever criticize somebody's normal life. I mean, if you want to be the nuclear family, or you want to be somebody who works in a... there are plenty of jobs that are, you know, doctor, teacher, firefighter, and noble jobs. Do them. I mean, we got to have those people. No doubt about it. But if there's something you want to take a chance on, I don't want to be on my deathbed saying, I should have done that. And I don't think this guy will now.
No, I bet. Hey, see, he's sleeping soundly at night.
That's right.
I mean, he's got, this is some sort of, like, journal that's picked up on this and created a story about it, so.
You know what I've learned? Everybody's got a dream. Some people suppress it longer, but everybody's got something that they want to be doing. I mean, I think about, we've had Chad Clark in here so much. He just did his show at the Palace. You know, all those years he was a factory worker. And suppressing that dream. And now he gets to live it. And I bet he's 10 times happier than he was when he was working in the factory.
I bet he is. It'd be crazy to see the world if everyone did do what they really wanted to do. I mean, creativity
exactly.
would have to be insane compared to what we have. I mean, not that, you know, creativity is bad or we don't have a lot right now, but just to think almost every person probably has something they want to do or something they could add, but, you know, people are suppressed and they don't.
Well, and that was the conversation we had with Jess earlier. You cannot base things in money. You gotta base them in something else.
I don't watch TV, but, I mean, I would say that creativity is very much lacking. But, I mean, like I said, I mean, like I don't really watch the TV, so, I mean, don't take my word for it. But, like, like a lot of people who I know who do watch movies, they're like, the biggest complaint about Hollywood from people usually is that Hollywood is just kind of remaking old movies at this point and recycling ideas, or at least formats. So, like, every movie is essentially the same, even though the plot's slightly different. So, I mean, I think creativity is fallen because nobody wants to take a risk on, because, like, you could make the greatest movie of all time because you just, you know, formulated a whole new thing, but, I mean, you could also just make the, you know, the safe money grab movie like everybody else.
Well, and also at some point, you better believe that you have something that somebody doesn't have, and that's not ego, that's confidence. you better be confident in your ability, because if you think that anybody can do what you do, then anybody will do what you do.
And if you don't think there's anything special, why would anybody else?
Exactly right. Do you want to sit in the audience or do you want to be on the stage? If you want to sit in the audience, that's fine, but don't sit there in the audience wanting to be on the stage. Get up there. You might stink, but you know what? You might not. You don't know till you try.
Take the chance. So inspirational.
Well, it worked for me, so I can't, you know, what am I going to say? It didn't work?
No, you're right.
It worked.
This has just been a funny hour. We've got the car ride summary for.
I don't go back to it. I can't take the car ride anymore.
And then we've got inspirational speech to close us out of the first hour.
Well, that to me is what Philadelphia was all about. And hey, my buns are on the wall now at Tony Paco's. So it's time to
eat some cheese dip and take a break.
Some cheese dip and have a break, and we'll be back with another hour here on the Friday Night Show.
Energizer transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy. Is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.